Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I wish to read to you a passage of Scripture found in John chapter 8, verse 24. This is the word of Jesus. Jesus makes this statement before a great multitude. He says, "I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus Christ to be the greatest individual that has lived upon the earth. I believe that Jesus Christ has had more influence in changing the lives and the character of humanity more than any other being that has lived. I believe that the life of Jesus Christ is more important than any life that has existed upon this earth. Jesus said, "You will die in your sins except ye believe that I am He." Jesus came to save humanity from sin. You and I are guilty of sin. Therefore, we must be saved from sin. We do not want to die in sin. The penalty for dying in sin is great and immense. It means eternal separation from the God of heaven. It means that we will be forever destroyed in a lake of fire. Jesus said, "You will die in your sins except ye believe that I am He." We must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We must believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. We must believe that Jesus offered Himself as a sacrifice for human sin. We must believe that Jesus Christ came and brought to humanity eternal redemption through His blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary. Jesus has the power to change your life and my life. He can take the most despicable character and raise that individual into a servant of Almighty God. He took the Apostle Paul, who was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and one who injured the Lord's cause, committed disciples of the Lord to prison, and persecuted the church, and made him a missionary unto humanity. Jesus can change my life and your life. He has that kind of power. We must allow Him to influence us. Therefore, we must believe that He is who He claimed to be. He claimed to be the Son of God. Not only did He claim to be the Son of God, but He demonstrated by the various miraculous works that He performed that He was indeed the Son of God. I believe that Jesus was from above. In John 8 and verse 23, He made this statement, "Ye are from beneath." Those to whom Jesus is speaking are from beneath. They are from this world. We are born by a fleshly conception. We live in human flesh. We live for a temporary time upon the earth, and then we will die. Every day we grow older. We move closer and closer to death. Jesus said, "Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world." Jesus was speaking of His divine nature. He was telling them that He was God in human flesh. He was revealing unto them that He was God who had been sent to earth. He was not of the earth. He was not from beneath, but rather He came from above. He came from the Father. John 16:28, "I came forth from the Father." The Father sent Him into the world. God the Father sent His only begotten Son into the world because He loved the world so deeply, so immensely, so fervently. He loved the world and wanted the world to be saved from sin. He wanted every human soul to be redeemed from sin. He wanted you to be saved from sin. He wanted me to be saved from sin. And so the Father sent him into the world. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Jesus, who was with the Father in the spiritual realm, in the heavenly realm, present with God, even at the creation of the world, came into the world. And he said, again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Jesus came from God. He was God in human flesh. He was the very image of God. Man had never looked upon God, had never seen God, did not know the form of God, but saw in Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Savior, the God who loved humanity, the God of grace, the God of hope, the God of peace, the God of holiness, the God of perfection, the God who had all power, the Almighty One. Jesus came in that form. He came from above, the Father having sent him. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul said, but when the fullness of time was come, when the time came for God to bring forth the Christ and bring his plan of human redemption to the world, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. The Apostle Paul states two truths in this passage of Scripture, actually three, about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the Son of God. God sent forth his Son. The Bible says he is the only begotten Son of God. He was born of God. He was not born of woman. He was not born of human flesh. But rather, he was born of God. God sent him into the world. The power of the highest, the Spirit of God, came upon that young virgin girl, and Jesus Christ came into the world. He was made of a woman. Mary was the woman who was selected to bring forth a Son. What a character she must have had. What a spirit she must have possessed. What a heart she must have had. Mary was chosen to bring forth the Son of God, and he was made under the law. He was created at the time that the law of Moses was the government of the Jewish nation, the law by which they lived, the ordinance and commandment by which they served God. Jesus Christ was the Son of God, sent forth of God, made of a woman, made under the law. Ephesians 4:10, he that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Jesus Christ descended from heaven, left heaven. Can you imagine the sacrifice that Jesus made? The Apostle Paul said that he that was rich became poor, so that we through his poverty might become rich. Jesus emptied himself in taking upon himself the form of a servant, being found in fashion as a man, even taking upon himself flesh and blood. Jesus Christ was from above. Jesus Christ was perfection in human flesh. You and I are susceptible to sin. You and I are tempted by the devil to transgress the law of God. The Bible declares that all of us have sinned. We have violated God's law, God's rule for our life. We have not lived in an acceptable fashion always before God. But Jesus Christ came and lived in absolute perfection. The devil tempted him, but Jesus never surrendered to the temptation. Jesus never gave in to his lust. Jesus never allowed sin to conquer his spirit. In the 14th chapter of John at verse 30, Jesus said, hereafter I will not talk much with you. The time was coming for Jesus to die. He was not going to talk with them very much hereafter. For the prince of this world cometh. The prince of this world, the devil, Satan, was going to come. He was going to take him. Through man, he was going to be delivered, and he was going to be crucified. But all of that was accomplished by the prince of this world. Sin has a dominating influence in the lives of so many, many, many people. Sin is able to destroy us. Sin is able to mark us and flaw us. Sin can bring guilt and regret. Sin can bring loss and destruction. The prince of this world was going to come, but notice what Jesus said, "He hath nothing in me." There is no accusation that he can bring against me that will stand. I have not given in to the devil. I have not surrendered to him. He has come again and again. Remember in the temptation in Luke chapter 4, he departed but for a season. The devil tempted Jesus time and time and time again. But Jesus never surrendered, was never sinful. He was absolute perfection in the flesh. John 18:38, Jesus is in the presence of Pilate. The Jews have brought Jesus to Pilate. They want Pilate to give consent for him to be crucified. And so Pilate talks with them, and then he examines Jesus. And he goes out to the multitude to speak to them again, and he says to them, "I find in him no fault at all." Pilate had talked with Jesus. He had considered the accusation that the Jews had brought, the reason that they were giving for him to be crucified. Pilate said, "I can't find any fault. I can't find any reason for him to be crucified." When we examine the character of Christ presented to us in the pages of Scripture, we can't find any fault. We might reject him. We might deny him. We might refuse him. But we can't find any fault in him. We can't find any flaw in his character. Men have brought accusations against Christ throughout history, but those accusations will not stand. No fault can be found in the character of Christ. The same cannot be said of you and me. If people look hard enough, if we look hard enough at ourselves, if we look honestly with ourselves, we can find fault in ourselves. We can find reasons why we need the grace of God and why we need to call upon God and surrender ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience so that we might be forgiven of sin. But Jesus was without sin. In fact, the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 22, "Who did no sin." There is not a character that has lived upon the earth with the exception of Jesus Christ who has done no sin. The very finest of individuals have committed sin. The most honorable of people have committed sin. The most righteous of men today have committed sin. But Jesus Christ did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He did not speak evil against people. He did not curse people. He did not utter words of anger. Jesus Christ was perfection in human flesh. And I believe that Jesus died and was buried. The plan of God was for Jesus to die and be buried. Jesus came into the world so that he could die for human sin. In Luke chapter 22, verses 44 through 46, the apostle Luke, or the writer Luke, rather, writes concerning the death of Christ. Jesus has been condemned to die on the cross to be crucified. And it was about the sixth hour. And so Jesus is on the cross. He is in the midst of death. You and I one day will have to travel the road of death. You and I will grow old enough and to a point where the breath will leave our body and we will die. And so it's the sixth hour, and there's a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. I do not know why the darkness fell. Perhaps it was because of the evil of the hour. These people were committing a horrible evil. They were crucifying a righteous man. They were crucifying a sinless individual. And it was a horrible death. It is amazing the inhumanity that man can show forth to other people. This was a moment of great inhumanity. The sun was darkened. Can you imagine the sun being darkened? And there's a period of some 3 hours where there's darkness over all the earth. Perhaps over all the earth refers only to the vicinity of Jerusalem where Jesus is being crucified. But perhaps it means also that all the earth, if the sun was blotted out, surely there was darkness over a vast amount of territory. Luke says, over all the earth until the ninth hour, the sun was darkened. The veil of the temple was rent in the mist. The veil in the temple separated the holy place from the most holy place. It was a mighty, beautiful tapestry, and it was torn in two. God had darkened the sun, and God, by his mighty hand, had torn the temple, signifying the destruction that this holy place and most holy place would no longer be separated, but rather Jesus Christ would enter in through the veil and become our high priest, the high priest of his church, the high priest for every soul who would come unto him in obedient faith. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Jesus is dead. After this lengthy period of suffering, in pain and agony, and in grave humiliation, he gave up the ghost. Jesus has died. Luke records this great event in these few words. Mark's account in chapter 15, verses 42 through 47 says, And now when the evening was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea goes to Pilate, requests that he have possession of the body of Christ. His purpose is to bury this body. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. Death by crucifixion sometimes took several hours, even days. It was a horrible way to die. It was a cursed way to put one to death. Pilate was amazed if Jesus were already dead. Joseph of Arimathea had come requesting the body, and Pilate was not sure that Jesus was even dead. And so he called unto him the centurion, and he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. The centurion has confirmed before Pilate that Jesus has died, and the body is given to Joseph. And notice, he brought fine linen. He took him down. Can you imagine how carefully Joseph, with the help of others, removed that body from the cross? That badly beaten, mangled, dead corpse, carefully removed with loving hands, taken down from the cross, laid in fine linen, wrapped in that linen, carefully prepared for death, and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock. We carefully, lovingly, compassionately bury our dead. Joseph of Arimathea, carefully, cautiously, lovingly removed the body of Jesus from the cross, wrapped it in fine linen, and put it in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock. He rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher, and Mary Magdalene and the mother of Jesus beheld where he was laid. Jesus has now died, and Jesus is buried. The body of Christ has been placed in a sepulcher. But death was not the final word from God. The angels of hell must have danced in glee when Jesus yielded up the ghost and said, "It is finished." The devil himself must have laughed in glee and triumph that he had conquered the Son of God. But that dead body, I believe, was resurrected from the grave. The scriptures declare unto us that Jesus was raised. You remember Christ had said during his ministry that if they destroyed this body, he would build it again in 3 days. He promised his disciples that he would be raised from the dead on the third day. He had prepared them through his teaching in his last hours concerning his death, but had promised them that he would be raised. The whole of Christianity rests on the foundation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 4, Paul said, "This is the truth of the gospel, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." The scriptures had declared that Jesus would be raised from the dead. They could not prevent the plan of God. Satan could not stand against the will of the Heavenly Father. No enemy can oppose God and triumph. God is the Almighty. Jesus presented the character of God as the Almighty One through the various miracles and works that he performed. He declared unto humanity that he had been sent from God and had come to save mankind. And only God can save mankind. Only God can redeem the human soul. Only God can take away the curse of sin in the human soul. And in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have the establishment of that great truth built upon the foundation of the Word of God. Jesus was buried. He rose again the third day. Death had been conquered. Our death is conquered through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our hope is set in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he was raised from the dead. In Matthew 28 and verse 6, several women had gone to the tomb of Jesus upon the first day of the week. And there was an angel there that said, "He is not here, for he is risen." He was no longer in the tomb. You recall that the grave clothes of Christ in which he had been wrapped were carefully folded and laid aside. Even the napkin that covered his face was laid to rest in that tomb. The body of Jesus had come out of those garments and had been raised. You and I in like manner will be raised. We may be buried and clothed in the very finest of a suit, in the very finest garments, but on the morning of the resurrection, we will ascend out of those garments and will come forth to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the skies. He's not here. He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And they looked in that tomb, and Jesus was not there. Oh, what glee must have struck their heart. What an awesome happiness must have fallen upon them. The Lord whom they loved, whom they had seen so brutally put to death and so carefully laid to rest in that tomb, saw that the tomb was empty. The body of Jesus was gone. The word of truth had been fulfilled. The echo down through human history is that Jesus has died and Jesus has been resurrected. And the hope of humanity, the glory of the church, is established upon the truth that Jesus Christ has come forth from the tomb. Acts 1 and verse 3, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Jesus appeared with his disciples for about 40 days following his resurrection and continued to speak to them the things concerning the kingdom of God. I believe that Jesus ascended into heaven. In Acts 1 and verse 9, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. The Lord whom they had not seen come, they now saw go." The Christ who had told them that he would go to his heavenly Father now ascended to his heavenly Father. He that had descended from above now ascended up on high. He would be seated at the right hand of God. He would take his place of authority upon the throne of David. His kingdom would be set. The gospel would be proclaimed throughout the world. The church would be forever established, and the redeemed of the earth would hear the grand message of salvation through the spoken word of those who lovingly respond, who give themselves to the preaching of truth. In Luke 24:50-51, he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them, and it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Can you imagine the scene? Can you imagine how they must have felt? The Christ whom they loved, to whom they had devoted their being, for whom they had made such tremendous sacrifice, both of profession and family, they now saw Christ ascend into the heavens. But they understood the glory, they would understand the glory of that ascension when the Spirit came upon them. They would take the responsibility that and the charge that had been given unto them by the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would go forth proclaiming the glad tidings of eternal truth, because Jesus had come from heaven. He had descended from above. He had lived a flawless, sinful life. He had died and had been buried. He had been raised, and now he has ascended. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. Ephesians 4:8. Jesus is now King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is the ruler, the head of his church. He is the authority to which men must bow the knee and with the voice praise his lordship. I believe that Jesus is coming again. I believe that he came in humility. I believe that he ascended in glory. I believe that he is coming again in grand, magnificent glory. John 14:3, Jesus said, "If I go," he told his disciples he was going, "and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus said, "I'll come again, and upon my coming again, I will receive you, so that where I am, in the heaven, there ye shall be also." Jesus assures them of the confidence that they would need to have in order to fulfill the charge that had been given unto them. You and I serve out of the great understanding and acceptance and assurance that Jesus is coming again. We live our life in obedience to the will of the Son of God. We surrender ourselves to the Savior of humanity because we believe that Jesus is going to come again. He has gone to prepare a place for us. And in that place, one day, we will be gathered and we will share in the glory of Jesus Christ. In Jude 1:14, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." The great truth that now stands and must be proclaimed to all of the world is that, "Behold, the Lord cometh." Jesus is going to come. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." There is coming an hour, an event in human history, when the curtain of time will fall. Jesus shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The very foundations of hell will be shaken. The dead will be surrendered from their graves, and we will meet the Lord in the air. The dead in Christ shall rise first at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a glorious day that is going to be. What a glorious hour we are going to experience. I believe in Jesus Christ. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ.